Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, and you, let us all exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together as we come to lift up that name again on another day with another glorious lesson that I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be blessed and empowered and impacted in and through and by the wonderful word of the Lord. And so on today, I have a wonderful lesson that I'm going to share with you on today, and it's called God's Calls Successors. And so we're talking about the call of some of the Old Testament characters, and we're going to explore some of the different things that have taken place in their lives and what God had did in their life. And on this particular lesson, we're going to be talking about the successors who God has called to move into the places in which he has called them to. So I'm going to invite you to come on in and make yourself right at home, and we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter number 19, and verses number 19 through verse number 21. And then also we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter number 2, verses 11 through verse number 13. And so let's read the scripture, and this is going to be 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And it reads on this line, so he departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again for what I have done to thee. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verses 11 through verse number 13 reads, and it came to pass as they went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them into two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now, verses number in 1 Kings, verse number 19 and 16 said on this line, and Jehu, the son of Nisha, shall thy anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel, Meholah, shall thy anoint to be prophet in thy realm. So let's take a look at this as he is appointing and anointing successors. Now, when the call of God on his children, on the work of God, are two very important and longstanding aspects of the kingdom. They do not cease at the close of one's ministry, but they continue on in the heart and the life of the successor. In these troubling times, as we're rapidly approaching the catching the way of the bride, and the smooth continuance of the work of the Lord is paramount, and is also very, very important as the children of God. Now, let's take a look here that the baton of responsibility must be handed carefully to the successor. The person responsible to execute this transferring of the mantle should not take it lightly, but prayerfully and seriously. Now, the ministry of Jesus was to train men who will continue the work of the kingdom after their upper room experience. And Jesus took time and effort to mentor men who were already busy in the growing and the demanding work of the Lord. Now, Matthew's chapter number 5, verses 1 through 2, it reads on this line, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciple came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them." Now, when we look at the successor who assumed the responsibility for the work of the Lord, it can become stabilized in the new venture through prayer, study, and the help of the mentor. And so those things are very, very key as for the one that is succeeding and moving into that successory area of ministry as they have received the mantle and moving forward into the things of God. Now let's take a look at God controls our future. Now, the psalmist David expressed the sentimentals of the heart of a man of God. He said, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, and thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness," Psalms 143 and 10. It is the privilege to place one's future in God's hand. Now, let's take a look further. God decides when our work is finished. Now, one of the most difficult decisions one in one's ministry will face is when to pass the mantle of responsibility to their successor. It requires proper discernment to know when it is time to step back and allow another to step forward. And it requires foresight, since the leader must prepare his successor in advance of the transition. Moreover, it requires spiritual sensitivity, since it ultimately is the Lord who chooses the successor. When Moses perceived that his responsibility of leading the people of Israel will soon come to a close, he charged Joshua, his successor. He said, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, and I will be with thee." Deuteronomy 31 and 23. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And you'll see that over in Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 9. Now, the Lord also powerfully confirmed Joshua's new responsibility. Now, after the death of Moses, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Joshua 1, verses number 1 through verse number 2 and verse number 5. In his letter to Timothy, Paul made it clear that his ministry was drawing to a close. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy 4 and 7. He issued a charge to this young minister who he referred to as my son in the faith. 1 Timothy 1 and 2. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But watch thou in all things endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And you'll find that over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 through verse number 2, and also verse number 5. Now, it is God who chooses our successor. Now, God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. This king would succeed in the seed to the throne of Saul, who had reigned for 40 years. Now, when you look at the scripture, and you'll find it over in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verses 11 to 13, and it reads on this line, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, some onlookers were surprised when they seen whom the Lord has chosen to step into the position of leadership. And such as it is sometimes with our life, when God calls you even into leadership, there may perhaps be people who look in and thinking, why do they call her or why do they call him? Well, it's not him or her choosing, but it is the choice that comes from the Lord. And thank God that he has chosen you. Now, the family of Jesse certainly did not believe God would choose the youngest son to be the next king of Israel. Jesse himself apparently thought Samuel would choose one of his three eldest sons. The possibility that the prophet would choose the youngest son was remote. He did not even send for David when Samuel asked to see all of Jesse's sons. And that lets you know the mindset of Jesse. He didn't even think or have confidence even in David. But see, when God has his hand on the life of an individual, it's not what people think. It's not what even your hater think. It's not what your sister or brother think. Not even what your mother or father think. It's what God is saying and what God has chosen. And matter of fact, he had chosen this before the foundation of the world, that you would lead, that you would be the one that he called to do what he's called to do. And so be encouraged. If you don't have someone that is validating you now or saying their stamp of approval, if God has chosen, who can overthrow what God has approved and established? Now, it is often difficult for us when God overrules our ideas of whom the successor should be. Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 and 34 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor? Also, Isaiah 55 and 9, as for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God's choice will always be the one who will bring the greatest benefit to the kingdom of God. Now, let us look further. You know, God gave Elijah a ministry of miracles. Now, Elijah, well, he was known in Israel. Elijah's ministry spanned the reigns of Ahab and Ahasuerus. And as the spokesman of God, Elijah's first mission was to confront King Ahab and announce an impending drought. And it reads on this line, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my word. 1 Kings 17 and 1. Now Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel had slain many of the prophets of Jehovah and troubled Israel by diverting their worship to Balaam, and thus reaping the judgment of God. 3 years later, as the land baked like pottery, Elijah stepped up to Ahab, who he said with scorn. He went on to say, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And you'll see that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17. Even before Elijah uttered a word, his very presence gave Ahab, whom blamed the prophet, for the drought. Without fear or favor, Elijah, he countered that Ahab and the king were, whom he preceded him, was the one that troubled Israel. Their wickedness and their idolatry had incurred the drought. Elijah challenged the king to arrange for a confrontation between the prophets of God and even the prophets of Baal. The recipient of the word of a true prophet do not always appreciate or even believe them. However, on Mount Carmel, when Jehovah answered by fire, the people fell on their faces and cried, the Lord, he is the God. 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 39. Although Ahab resisted doing so, the people acknowledged the leadership and the authority of the true God and his prophet Elijah. Now, further, Elijah was honored by God. Now, during the drought, God had instructed Elijah to go to Zarephath and reside with a widow who had prepared for him and would provide for him. This seemed illogical, with no one to scart out the crops from the hard baked earth, and that the meal barrel was nearly empty. This lady and her son thought that they would have reached the final days of existence. And then Elijah arrived on the scene and asked the woman to bake a cake for him before making the last one for herself and her son. And we'll find that over in 1 Kings chapter number 17, verses number 13 through verse number 15. And it reads on this line, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son, for this said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of thy meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sent his rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, she and he in her house did eat many days. Now, this unnamed widow found that when she honored the prophet of God and the work of God, the provider and the giver of life himself remembered her in the hour of her need, even after her son became gravely ill and even died. She did not accept his death. If God could miraculously feed her and her son throughout the famine, he could also help her now. She went to Elijah, who prayed, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And you'll see that over in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 21. And God restored her son to life and to health all over again. Now, on the Mount Carmel, when Elijah confronted the 450 prophets of Baalim, the people crowded around to watch. Before any preliminaries, Elijah plunged into his reason for challenging Baalim, and he demanded of the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God be God, follow him, but if Baalim, then follow him." 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Now, when the people did not answer, Elijah pitted Baalim's power against the power of Jehoshaphat. They would see which deity answered by fire. And the prophet of Baalim built an altar and cried all day to their God. And they cut and contorted themselves and prophesied and leaped up upon the altar to no avail. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah called a halt to that foolishness. He invited the people to come closer while he prepared the altar of the Lord and placed on it the sacrifice. He asked that the altar and the sacrifice and the wood also would be soaked with water. Elijah offered a simple prayer, and divine fire scooped down and ignited the sacrifice. It consumed everything, the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, the dust, and even licked up the water in the trench at the base of the altar. The people bowed to the earth and explained that the Lord, he is God. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 39. And God honored Elijah by answering his prayer for fire and shortly after for rain. Now let's look here. As we look further, God calls requires sacrifice. So Elijah departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Zarephath, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, saying, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh and with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. Now, Elijah, he burned his plow. Now, the calling of God requires a sacrifice. Elijah was willing to sever the past to ensure the success of the future. A person cannot receive the mantle and be effective servant if he will not let go of the ties to the past. It is hard to pack up the tent to follow the Lord if the tent stakes are embedded too deep. For example, Lot at the first merely pitched his tent toward Sodom. Then he moved his family into Sodom. Just before God rained down fire and brimstone on the wicked city, the angel had to drag the family of Lot away to safety. His family, his wife, who could not be pulled her heartstring away from the city, looked back, and God judged her by forming her into a pillar of salt. Following the call of God and becoming a successor required more than a casual commitment. Just as a casual commitment did not suffice in Elijah's day, they will not even suffice in the days even now. God needs men and women who are sold out, totally committed to the cause and willing to separate from their past so that they can focus on their future in the work of the Lord. Burning our plows in the 21st century is not a popular subject. We cling to the success of yesterday, but we find the weight of them bogged down with the success of the future. The Bible is clear. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Moses left his sheep to become the one to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Peter left his boats and his business to become the speaker at the inauguration and the church on the day of Pentecost. The Lord honors individuals who are willing to sacrifice on behalf of the kingdom of God. Now let's look further at what's taking place here. Elijah traded his inheritance, 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th, and Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon them. Now, when we begin to look at this description of the word inheritance, the dictionary.com states it as being something that is or may have been inherited, or property passing at the owner's death to their heirs or to those who are entitled to succeed, or legacy. Now, the word also implies the acts of the fact of inheritance by succession, or as if by succession or genetically, to receive property by inheritance. Now, until Elijah appeared, Elijah thought his future laid in the farming business. Apparently, his father was well-to-do, judging by the number of ox that pulled Elijah's plow. As the young man worked in the field, Elijah approached and cast his mantle over Elijah's shoulder. Now, can you imagine that in your mind when you begin to sit and think about that, that here you out in the field of plowing, and then here come the prophet up along the side of you and just casting their mantle over top of you or over you? Wouldn't that be profound? If you can even just imagine how it took place at that time for Elijah. Now, this act placed Elijah at the crossroads, since it was significant that the old prophet was transferring his power and authority to Elijah. The younger man had to choose whether to stay and work the farm with his father or to sacrifice his inheritance and even follow in the footsteps of Elijah. Now, Elijah gave up his family. His decision must have pulled at his heartstring. He asked Elijah to give him a little time so that he could go home to kiss his mother and father and say proper goodbyes. Then he would quickly join the old prophet. According to the custom of the East, this was a reasonable request. History revealed that the Oriental farewell sometime occupied several days. And the prophet Elijah permitted Elijah a brief opportunity to bid farewell to his family. They provided a feast and butchered a yoke of oxen using Elijah's wooden plow equipment to build a fire to simmer the meat. After everyone had feasted, Elijah reported to Elijah and began ministering unto him. And Jesus said, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wives or children or land for my sake, namesake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter number 19 and verse 29. Now, the Lord called for total commitment in his servant. Jesus confirmed this when he declared, no man hath put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verses 62. We can only imagine the mixed feeling of Elijah's family as they watched him go. They would miss their beloved son, but felt privileged that he would be ministering to Elijah. As parents and leaders in the end time church, the most important thing for which we could ask is that our children walk in truth in his perfect will for the advancement of the work of God. Now let's look further. God honored Elijah's request. Elijah's value was correct. In 2 Kings 2 and 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. 2 Kings 2 and 9. Elijah traveled with Elijah for a short period of time during which he witnessed the Lord working miraculously through Elijah. This inspired Elijah to desire the same anointing of God upon his life, and he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And it was not wrong to desire good things from the Lord. Paul instructed us to covet earnestly the best gift. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. Now, Elijah said to his sorcerer, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou wilt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. 2 Kings 2 and 10. With such a promise, one can be sure that Elijah made up his mind to stick to Elijah's side as close as he could possibly do it. And it seemed Elijah tried to discourage the fulfillment of Elijah's desire. Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, 2 Kings 2 and 2. But Elijah was not deterred easily. So it was with Ruth. Ruth showed the same kind of determination when Naomi urged her to return to Moab. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if I ought but death part thee and me. Ruth chapter number 1, verses 16 through 17. Now, we should endeavor to follow our master closely. Opportunity to quit may arise, and at times we might even want to. Certainly, Elijah, several opportunities to step aside, and he gave them those opportunities. And Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. We must always keep our master within scope of the vision. And without, we cannot afford to lose sight of the blessing of eternity. Further, Elijah's vision was clear. 2 Kings 2, verses 11 and 12 state, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a house horses of fire, and departed them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, my God, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. That's 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Now the two prophets had just crossed the Jordan when suddenly a chariot of fire caught up Elijah and caught him away. And Elijah had never seen anything as glorious as the fiery horses and the chariot ascending to heaven on a whirlwind. He bent to pick up the mantle that had fallen from the prophet, and surely he had stood there holding it and sensing the incredible anointing that God had placed upon his life. Now further, Elijah's victory was certain. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 said, he took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan and smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the water, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Now when Elijah prayed, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was asking God to affirm his appointment as the successor of Elijah. He strode immediately to the water to test the mantle, and when he struck the water, they rolled back. 2 Kings 2 and 14. This began a miracle ministry in the life of Elijah. The church of today must feel the weight of the mantle of the Holy Ghost and not to flaunt it as a showpiece, but to use it to further the kingdom of God. Now, Paul declared to the church of Ephesus, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Elijah 3 and 20. Now the sons of the prophet recognized immediately the spirit of Elijah on Elijah. 2 Kings 2 and 15. And it reads, and when the son of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah do rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. And so we must recognize, children of God, that it is God that calls the successor. And maybe in pre-adventure, you're walking in the steps of your successor. You may not even know who the successor is, but perhaps that mantle has fallen down upon you. And we must take a serious heart and mind towards that mantle that has been placed upon us, and the mantle of the call that is upon our lives to be the man and the woman of God that God has called us out to be, and stand and do it with integrity and with courage and with his power and in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Further, Elijah, he determined that the call of God on his life was more important than the position or power. He would have to make himself available to serve Elijah, performing every task as the prophet asked. When the mantle of Elijah fell upon the young prophet, God used him in performing twice as many miracles as Elijah had did. I come to tell you on today, child of God, there's double. God is going to perform greater and even double blessings in and through your life because you said yes, and you have not allowed yourself to become distracted by the things and the cares of this world to press forward and to accomplish the work and the will of the Lord. And so I encourage you, and I pray God's blessing upon you as you endeavor to do the work of the will of the Lord and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to continue as your mantle to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore as you forge forward in the things of God. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord God Almighty will undergird you, fortify you, and strengthen you to be the man and the woman of God that he's called you out to be, whether you're an usher, whether you're an intercessor, whether you work in the administration area, whether you work in the kitchen, whether you work on the baptismal committee, whether you are a teacher, whether you are even a deacon, even one that even a cell leader, whatever, or a pastor, or assistant pastor, associate pastor, or in pastoral care, wherever you find yourself at and the mantle is upon you, first of all, take seriously your mantle. Secondly, and things, do it with all your heart, might, and strength. Don't allow yourself to become distracted. Do the work of the ministry, even as Paul told Timothy and things, to endure hardness as a good soldier, and do the work of the ministry. And so I come to speak to your heart and speak in your spirit. Do the work of the ministry. Don't allow the adversary to distract you. Be instant, in season, and even out of season, and watch God will do the work in and through your life, because you have put him first and the things of God first in your life. And so, child of God, I pray unto you confidence. I pray unto you that you will go back in prayer and cultivate your prayer life. I pray unto you that you cultivate your devotional life unto the Lord our God, and watch him bless you and watch him move upon you to do great and mighty things in and through your life, because you have a mind to do the will of the Lord our God. And so, child of God, as I get ready to close, and if you're standing as a successor who has succeeded that individual, and you carrying on the heart and the mind of God to fulfill and advance the kingdom of God, I pray strength to you, confidence, and blessings, that you'll stay steadfast, unmovable, and that your hand will always be to the plow, and that you will not look back, but that you will do and accomplish the will of the Lord our God, and execute it with exactness, because you have sit at his feet so that you could acutely hear what thus said the Lord our God said for his people at this time and this season. For such a time as this, you have been born out of due season to do the work and the will of the Lord. And I call you to stand up and do it with integrity and grace in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And go forth, child of God, and do it in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious session. We thank you, dear God, for those that will listen and those that have listened and those that are on, Father, right now, and those that will come later. That I pray a blessing. I pray a cover over them, those that you have called and raising up and sending them forth to do your work and your will. I ask, oh God, that you would move by your power divine, and that you would stretch forth your mighty hand and bless them, God, in a mighty and a special way. And God, I praise your blessed name. Meet every need. Let not a need go lack. And we rebuke the devil, and we rebuke every attack that will come against them. Give them courage and strength. Strengthen their body. Heal that foot, Father, that we have come up under a great attack of the adversary, and even their voice, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, may the blessings of the Lord be with you, because this is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name, that you will be blessed. Until we meet again, I pray that there will be a no sorrow come to your house, and that you will be greatly blessed of the Lord our God. And as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, may the blessings of the Lord be upon you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, share it with someone. Tell someone to come and listen. We will be back with you again soon. God bless you now. Bye-bye.